having put in work right throughout the world with different groupings over the last 2 years, and then at each stage Pope Francis did say that a questionnaire should be sent out among the lay people and different groupings, and they would send them back and we would collate them and use them as material, you know, for the bishops. So we were involved in that last year and this year, collating, sending stuff to Rome, back and forward all the time to all the bishops. Every bishop we knew, we gave them copies of what people said. And what people were saying, lay people generally were, you know, were just walking away from this church because they felt it was irrelevant to their lives. And so we were saying is, like, how do you make this church relevant to these young people? And you'd say, well, the young people are saying is, look at the treatment they give to gay people, lesbian people. And then they say divorced and you know, sort of people whose marriage is broken down and remarried again, and they can't go to communion. They're excluded from the church, in a sense, in that way. And then, so a lot of these issues, it's not a case we're trying to look for change for the sake of change, but we believe that, and it's not just us reform groups, but most people, you know, elderly women, it's not just men who wrote these questionnaires, were just amazing to read what they had said for the future of the church. They saw no reason that a divorced and remarried person, and a lot of them were their sons and daughters, they bring them into their dinners on Sundays and allow them in for their full meal at home. And then they say, well, the church is a mother, and why doesn't the mother of church, you know, allow in people? And so rules and regulations, excuse me, are sort of in the way. I know Pope Francis says that too, too much emphasis on doctrine rather than on people. So that was the old way, and it's still there. It used to be said that error has no rights. So therefore, if you were in error, you were excluded. But you see, error and homosexuality doesn't exist. What exists are gay people and people who are wrong, you know. So error and these words, they're all highly abstract words and they don't mean anything really. But what is important is there's people who are gay people, persons, and they have a dignity of their own and they have to be respected and they have human rights and all of that and duties. So we it's that new way of seeing, and that's 50 years old because that was introduced in the Second Vatican Council, and yet very little has changed over the years. And that is a problem for us. And like, remember the late Cardinal Martini, he before he died, you know, he didn't say it when he was alive, but he left a testament, and in it he said the church is at least 250 years out of date.
I suppose from the church's perspective, though, like you were saying, they are a global organisation, and we forget that maybe sometimes in Ireland or in the West. So, you know, we are in a different situation. So there are countries that maybe do see it very differently and do see it as a very different issue. That is, you know, something that's a human right in one country is essentially a scandal in another country. And that's, I suppose, the situation that Pope Francis finds himself in trying to dialogue between these different people. And equally, that's the situation that the people who are making these decisions find themselves in as well.
Yes, that's correct, you know, in that sense. But it's also a factor in human rights. For example, you know, the Chinese president, he was over in England and he was wined and dined. But he says, well, human rights, we have Chinese human rights. You have other human rights over there in the West. But, and they keep on saying that all these repressive regimes do say that human rights are not universal. And therefore, it's like the church then, they can say is that, you know, the suppression of gay people, say in Africa, that's criminal, you know, and they can be beaten and they can be executed in Uganda. And so that, to any right-minded person, that is wrong. And that's the end of the story. And so, you know, yet you have the bishops over in Africa. They say, well, it's a part of our culture. We don't like, you know, gay people are not accepted here. And And in actual fact, we don't know. I mean, 10% of African people must be gay, because that's seemingly a genetic part of the human race. And goodness only knows how many of these bishops and priests are gay too. So, and they don't recognize it even in themselves. So it's right in a certain way, as Pope Francis said, is what's human rights in one country is a scandal in the other. But we have to do something about that. We can't just say, and as a result, at the press conference last Saturday evening, the Cardinal Schönborn of Vienna, he said, we didn't touch homosexuality. Again, he says homosexuality instead of gay and lesbian people. He said, we didn't touch that because it's such a delicate issue. And that was the end of the story. And you see, so they skirt around that because they know the Africans, bishop will go mad over it or whatever. And so these things are not faced. And so what do you do? Do you just say, well, we can't talk about gay and lesbian people being fully accepted into our church because it's not acceptable in Africa? And then the Africans, you know, say, oh, look at Western Europe, sexual immorality and all of that. And so they don't see the beam in their own eye. That's the problem. They see the wrong somewhere else, but they can't see the suppression of women's rights in Africa. The woman is a chattel, and at least we have moved that forward. And that is a move forward. And anything that's human is divine. And therefore, in that is a human rights are, you know, they're not just a human thing. They're divine. So that is the reality, that we have to work within the church to have a universal. Someone said after Second Vatican Council, there was an attempt to make a charter of human rights for the Catholic Church. And that's a pity it never happened, because we need something like that to say is homosexuality, you know, you don't have to say it's a right, but gay and lesbian people have a right to exist, be respected and be accepted totally as human persons. You know, in each category, we could make a human right of it. And that must be accepted by everyone in the church.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, well, sorry, you can go somewhere else, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose they may well level the same at you and say, well, if you're not happy with the church, if you're not happy with the way it is, you can go somewhere else. I mean, because it must be quite frustrating for you to feel like you're constantly knocking on the door here and they're just saying, no, we're not listening, we're not changing, we're right, you're wrong, essentially.
Yes, it's very frustrating. And so many people have decided, well, it's wasting your time. And people do say to us, look, you've spent the last 2 years looking for change, for example, even the minimum part of communion for divorced and remarried people. And you've got nowhere. In the last document, I was reading through that section, those sections, I think 84 to 86, there's not one mention of communion or the Eucharist. They say divorced and remarried people can be accompanied into church services. Now, I don't know what church services are. Are they prayer services they're going to be allowed into? But there's no mention of the word communion at all. And the example was given in the council of a bishop talking about that one person in his parish came to him and told him the story that happened, I think, a previous Sunday, was that when he went to Mass with his son, this man was divorced and remarried, and so he was taking it very strictly. He was not going to communion, but his son did. And after communion, the son came down after communion and took out the communion, the bread and the consecrated bread, and broke it in two and gave it to his father and said, I want you to share this, because this is supposed to be a Eucharist, a sharing. And this, you know, a young child could see the hypocrisy of that type of system, that he wants to share with his father. His father has every right to this communion, and, you know, all of that. He's living a good life now at this, you know, he always probably was anyway. And the child could see that. God can see it. But yet, you know, the vast majority of these people, of the bishops, the people who are making the rules, can't see it. That it's just incredible that you say, you know, you come with a mother, come into the meal, but when it comes to eating, sorry, you have to leave. You know, we can have a good chat and talk and do all this, but, you know, I'm sorry, you have to leave now, when, because the rest of us are, you know, enjoying the meal. So that's what it is to young children and to people outside. And yet, how do we justify it? And we say, well, marriage is indissoluble. These people, they're living as they're living in adultery. All of this type of talk, and yet in the Eastern Church, they're allowed to remarry. You know, Christians whose marriages have broken down, and it's just a fact of life. It can break down, and through a period of penitence, then they're allowed to remarry, and even a second time. So, they have overcome this sort of this blindness that we have, and it's a very harsh type of thing. Is sorry, you know, you can't do it. And you say, why can't I share like the child, you know, with my father? Why can't I do it? And is that the type of God? And then people say, well, that seems to be the type of God they believe in. This God, a very harsh God, you broke the rules and that's it. And off you go. And you're on your own, and you can't come in. And yet you have the prodigal son, you know, the father running out, bringing in this fellow, and everyone is saying, oh, you can't bring in that fellow, you know, he's dirty and he's all that, and he spent all your money. And that's exactly like the child, you know, seeing that, you know, we say, you can't come in, I'm sorry, you broke the rules. And so did the prodigal son, break every rule possible. And yes, he's brought back in. And the father wasn't saying, oh, he spent all my money, that's a mortal sin, he did this and he did that. But there's no question of what he did, or what he, you know, what he did. He probably did everything possible. And so that wasn't, he was accepted back into the, and that's the image of our church. But it's not given today. And that's why people don't see God in the church. And that's the problem of it, you know. And it's a terrible, terrible pity to see so many young people, and because it's a great, you know, it's a great gospel, and it's a great kingdom, and it's a great message, you know, justice changing the world. And that's what young people are doing and wanting to do. And but they don't see that in the Catholic Church. And that's what our church should be, and that's what we're looking for.